do anything. We can't start the meeting.
Why can't you gavel?
Workshop.
It's a workshop.
No, a gavel workshop.
So sorry.
Good, all right. Advocate, talk about the budget.
Yes.
Should we talk about the budget?
Let's talk about the budget.
Okay.
And you've received your copies.
Hands off.
For the workshop. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the least I guess.
Oh.
Getting close.
This, I think this has everything but, oh, this is what I didn't know yet. It's double-sided, so it's not as long. Oh, there it is.
I got it.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. So, yes, Commission, this is the first draft of the 2020. Ooh, and up to 2019. 2020, budget.
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Where is 2019?
Oh, under the assumptions.
First line on assumptions.
Right. I didn't have anybody perfect for me. And overall, I think what we did was fairly modest in our revenue projections and the expense projections for the year. We made some assumptions with the operating revenue of having a 3% increase on rates. The August CPI, you know, they read they report the CPI every 2 months. The August CPI was 3.2, so it's not exactly what the most current is, but it's a nice round number.
So the August CPI is 3.2 just for August, or is that year-to-date up until August?
It's year-to-date. Well, not year-to-date, it's to the year, because they always look at the full year, so it's the full year.
So it's from the previous August to that August?
To,
or
yeah.
From January to that August?
No, it's from the previous year to this August.
Okay.
It was 3.2. Also, in the analysis on the revenues, we looked at where we are with our annual activity year-to-date. We did some trend analysis on the last few years, especially with mortgage and with the boatyard, looked at occupancy, and then any planned business strategies for 2020. So as I said, for revenues, it's a relatively modest increase of projected about $184,000 when compared to the 2019 budget. And the only thing that actually is projected at this point as going down slightly is the Boat Haven properties, and that's we had a loss of a few customers, PYR being one, Bums, and Perpetual Boat Works. So hopefully we'll get those up and running, but we're not projecting that at this point until we have a bird in here.
So PYR, Bums, and Perpetual Boat Works, is three of them in?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Perpetual was Ben Thompson.
Oh, okay.
He left. And of course, we know what happened to Bums, went out of business, and PYR was evicted. They're still in the yard, but they're moving out, they're phasing out.
So they, have they got the Navy out of compound, out of
no.
Impound?
No.
No.
I guess Navy will take that up with them.
We've been talking to them, and he says he's expecting a check, so as soon as he gets his check, that he knows the boats won't go in the water, that we've been paid for.
So moving on to, do you have any questions on the revenues? Okay.
So going on to non-operating revenue then, or?
Oh, I was going to look at the operating expenses.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I'd like to do is go through the assumptions of what we did to create this budget, mm-hmm. and then I'd actually like to spend some time go line by line of the budget.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it.
Okay. So yeah, getting back to just the assumptions on the operating expenses, personnel costs. As you know, we have a majority of our staff are union represented, and we treat the rest of our employees the same way when it comes to the COLA. We're required to give a COLA based on the CPI annually, not to exceed 5% and not be less than 2%. And it has to be as of that yearly CPI as June. And the June yearly was 2.3. So that CPI is included. This is also based on current staffing, where we feel like we're fully staffed at this point. So there's no changes projected at this point in staffing, except for the ED, that replacement of the ED, we have an overlap projected of about 5 months. It might be a little less, but definitely that increases the amount under salaries and wages. Let's see. So compared to the prior year too, we had an increase of one FTE with the environmental specialist, which was also, that was filled mid-year. So now it's going to have a full year activity in the 2019 projection. Let's see. So the payroll taxes, we're comfortable reducing it a little bit. We had projected 231 in 2019, but we're going to be below that in 19 too.
So can I go back a little bit on
sure.
that increase of one FTE last year?
Mm-hmm.
I remember lots of times when we were moving people around, we moved the guy a half from the yard into half into maintenance and did a few things like that, but I really don't recall adding an FTE, but maybe I just am getting old, I don't know.
I think we moved from, this was security, right?
No, this was the environmental specialist.
Environmental,
yeah,
because we lost our environmental specialist.
That was, yeah, it was a few years
right.
ago.
Yeah, so in other words, I'm trying to recall, I don't recall actually changing, but again, maybe I just need to be reminded, but I don't recall changing it where we increased an FTE. I kept thinking that we were moving people around because we found that we needed half more in the yard or half less somewhere else, and I don't remember making an FTE position for
I believe it was in April of this year.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was our prior security guard.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's what I was confused.
Yeah.
So, does salary and wages 2020 take into account Jim and the new ED?
Yeah, that control, everything we're talking about, it includes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you talk about or look at, and you may, I don't know whether you want this or not, being a consultant for 5 months? Does it help the board financially? Not? Don't know? Don't ask?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Okay.
The difference being benefits, because there's no benefits paid to a consultant?
Well, yeah, and FICA, and there's all kinds
yeah.
of.
I'm trying to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
You're
excuse
all
me.
Social Security, aren't you? I mean, Medicare.
Gosh, I'm old.
So is Christine?
She's not old. That's
not old.
So she's not old enough for Medicare, is she? Yeah.
So getting back to
getting
the
back
assumptions.
To
what's that?
Getting back to business.
Yeah.
That is business.
Number seven. So for the benefits, we had also already received information on the upcoming health insurance cost for unrepresented staff. So we have that in here, but we didn't get it yet for a represented staff. So we anticipate getting that in the next couple weeks, I hope.
Do you have a placeholder in here for that?
Well, we put a modest increase of 1%. That's what we saw on the unrepresented side. So we just did the same for the represented side. So hopefully it'll be within that or even less. There's been years occasionally when they don't change from year to year. So. And then let's see, for contracting services, we made a reduction that we're estimating. We have an attachment to this page which goes over just a listing of the different descriptions of services that the port gets. And there's a list that is on, it's after the financial statement or the budget. It says contract services purposes. So it has a listing of 2020 anticipated contract services that will continue. There's really nothing new in there. But what we did have is a reduction at the bottom of that page. So that's probably on the double-sided piece on that. The additional contract services that were in 19 but not in 2020. For instance, we had the lease rate study. We had to pay off bond counsel. and a financial advisor from the prior year. We had a human resources consultant, stormwater feasibility study, it was parametric work, and we had some appraisals.
Are any of these contract services coming up for renewal or, you know, negotiation this coming year?
They regularly come up for renewal. Some of them are, they're stated they're contract services, but it isn't really a contract. For instance, like the pest control, that's just
as,
a service.
As kind of thing, or, oh, okay.
It's just a service that they provide. Same for like shipping for the washdown granules. It's just the way that that particular vendor bills. Instead of them paying the shipping, they have you pay the shipping. So it's just some of those things are really not contracts, but they're under contract services.
There are a couple things in here that will need to be fleshed out a little more, and one is airport fire protection. The fire department has been pushing us now for about 6 months to do a new agreement with the cops. Their agreement has expired, and they're expecting a large increase in us paying, because we don't pay property tax. They feel that we need to pay more for airport fire protection.
I think we got to get a lot more for that fire station.
So that's in the mix. But anyway, that's one of the things.
Will that be done before the end of the year?
We're hoping. We've been meeting with James almost monthly. We're trying to work this out. The other thing is appraisals. You know, we've talked about doing appraisals, both lease appraisals and purchase appraisals for property. So we didn't include that. But that might be something we're going to have to discuss more. And the third is the Point Hudson Preservation Plan that's been battered around. That is not in here presently. So if we're going to move forward with Mike Sullivan, that's something we're going to add. So those are the things I want you to be aware of when we're talking this budget we're looking at that I see that could pop up that we should be considering.
So how much do we pay for fire services now? How much of an increase are they expecting? Are we anticipating?
$28,000
Oh, what we pay now?
Yeah.
About $10,000
Yeah.
Yeah. And they want to double it, or they want to just add?
No, they first came in at $75,000 So what it is?
Wait, $10,000 to $75,000
Yeah. Well, this is the reason. Remember, we pay Fire District 3 for fire protection at the airport. There is no more fire protection District 3. It is now the city of Port Townsend and everything. So now they're claiming we're going to protect all of our assets, not just District 2 assets. So they're looking at the entire county that Jefferson Fire, East Jefferson Fire Services. So they're looking at everything that we own that doesn't collect leasehold tax. Because leasehold tax is our property tax. So any property we own that we're not collecting leasehold tax on, which is common.
And we own the property of the fire department on.
We do. Yeah.
I presume that they're basing this on something like on per cubic foot rather than on exposure.
They are. So, but they're exempting open land, like the 300 acres at the airport that there's no buildings on, they're not asking us for. But they are asking us for things that we don't pay taxes on.
Because the open space is the location where we usually call them out, right? It's somebody lands off the airport end,
yeah.
Oh, by the way.
Oh. So anyway, it's in negotiations. The first shot, they said $75,000. We said, no, that's not going to fly. So now we're figuring out that number. That number's gonna be. I think Eric, because Eric and I have been meeting, Eric came up with a number about $28,000,
mm-hmm.
which is still a big increase.
Mm-hmm.
How important is that building to them?
How important is what?
I would say it's not as important to them as it is to us.
I mean, we would make a great archive building, off-site archive building.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all things that are in discussion. Yeah, since they built the Chimicum Fire Station, it's really...
rebuilt the Chimicum Fire Station.
Yeah. The building we have at the airport isn't as important.
Mm.
So anyway, those are the things that I see coming. This is also an audit year, so we're going to have to pay for an audit.
Mm-hmm.
Do we get a lease amount or anything from CenturyLink for their vault at the airport? Okay.
Coos. I have no idea how that even started, but then we...
Just curious, and they have like several big vaults there.
Your phone service at home is there somewhere.
Yeah, such as it is.
As is mine.
We also anticipated a reduction in consulting services, excuse me, when compared to 2019.
Yeah, that's outstanding.
Now, 2019 was substantially less than 2018, if I recall, correct?
Yeah. That's the goal, is to clean ourselves off consultants.
Also utilities, we have a slight increase, because we anticipate there'll probably be a rate increase that we'll pass through to in revenues, but this is the expense side. It really depends on the weather sometimes. Like last year, we got hit pretty hard in February with the weather, and so our electricity and that usage went up exponentially.
But if we do more metering of that kind of stuff in the yard, we won't be hit as hard for it.
Right.
And we're still looking at getting those inductive things on the yard for metering, so that should happen.
It should happen hopefully by the end of the year, but first part of next year if it doesn't.
So that then should actually get a lot more revenue, because we'll be collecting for the actual expenses instead of just a guesstimate, which was the guesstimate only covered half. So have we seen the increase in the garbage fees yet? Has that already happened?
An increase in garbage?
Yeah, remember when we were talking a couple of months ago that the city was indicating they were going to, I'm not sure if that's countywide, it's just in the city, but they were going to have the garbage rates go up like 30%.
I thought that was next year. I think that's 2020.
Is it? Oh, okay. So we haven't seen any.
I haven't seen any. I've seen it.
Okay.
And yeah, if that's the city, I'm not sure that would affect us, because we're directly with Waste Management and DM.
But it's the city contract, I think.
Huh.
Yeah, I think it would.
Huh. Interesting. Just noting. and of course the audit that Jim... Yeah, we'll have a double whammy in 20 and 21. We're going to have back-to-back audits because of the airport. We're going to have a federal audit the following year. So, FYI.
Meaning that's going to cost us, $10,500?
So what's in there now is I'm estimating probably about two-thirds of it being paid in 20, and then the rest will be paid in 21, because typically they finish at the end of the year and then the billing comes in. But then in 2021, we'll have to get a federal audit, and what they always couple a federal audit with a financial statement audit. So they won't do an accountability. So probably, I mean, I'm guesstimating maybe 80 hours of audit, and they're so maybe about 8,000 to 10,000. Yeah. Nothing's free.
You're tired of doing that
free money.
That whale watch thing you could get into auditing.
Then on the next page, not operating revenues. So when you look at the capital contributions and the grant projections, you know, because the runway project got moved forward, it basically is in the 2019 budget and the 2020 budget. But that's why I have down at the bottom of this page a small adjustment to show what it would look like if you didn't have the runway construction piece in 19. So you can get a better analysis of the numbers comparatively.
I see our tax levy is up to $997,000 in 2018 dollars.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's funny. I was looking at the debt service where we are, and this projection of $1,030,000 is almost exactly what our debt service is. Mm-hmm. I mean, within a few dollars for the next till 2025. Mm-hmm. So that's good. And then the only other thing is the The non-operating expenses, which bond interest is included here, just based on the amortization schedules.
So I know everybody looks at this tax levy as like paying off the debt service. I don't know how that got started, except that it seems to be a total number. But I mean, that's not really what the tax levy is there for, right?
You mean this general property tax levy?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of what, when they talk about an LTGO bond, it's, they look at what your taxes are to support the payment. And as it happens, that's the way it's over time happened with the port, that that's what it's used for. So, I mean, there's definitely some ports that they have more taxes and they don't have as much debt. And so they're able to take that tax levy and say, okay, we're going to use it for this special program. You know, I've seen that, but that's not what's happening here.
Is there anything coming off of the debt service in 2020?
No, 2025 will be the last year for the 2015 LTGO. However, in 2020, we will be eligible to call our bonds for 2020 and refinance. So that might be something that we do if we're going to go out to bond for the jetty. Then we could refinance and get a lower interest rate because the rates are so low now on the 2020.
I think we did that in 17?
15.
Yeah. 15?
Yeah.
Is that when we did it?
Yeah.
So the bond that we would be refinancing with made when?
The 2010 bond is callable in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So we could get a better deal in interest and refinance it as and wrap it into additional monies for the jetty if that's what we decided.
Right, that was a substantial savings, like about $1 million, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It was about, it was close to $500,000 in interest.
Mm.
Yeah, in that refi. So then we go to this page, line by line.
Yeah, so just overall, if we want to look at what we're projecting in the variance column, the 2020 income budget is looking fairly good. $185,000 we're projecting more in 2020 than 2019. But I'd like to go back to 2017 and look at the 2017 numbers. To see that we're almost projecting almost $1 million more from 2017, because we're going to do the same analysis when we look at expenses, and our expense projection in 2020 is actually $10,000 less than 2017 expenses were. So what we're doing is we're doing a great job at slowly ramping up revenues and slowly reducing expenses to 2017 levels. Which is a good sign.
Yeah.
So if you want to do by the numbers, obviously Bodium and Mortgage is going up to 3% or $25,000 is what we're anticipating. Yard operations, we believe the discount, if this week is any indication and the things on the books we have for the next 2 weeks, we will have a full yard with the discount. I mean, totally full, but we can't take another boat. So we're projecting actually an increase in revenue there. Point Hudson Marina, same way. Things are looking very good at Point Hudson, so an $80,000 variance there. Bodiehaven Properties, we're seeing a $32,000 reduction, and that's mainly due to PYR, bonds, and perpetual. So my guidance to Terry was fill those spaces with boats. On a foot per foot basis, a boat's going to generate a lot more revenue than a business. However, we want to be, you know, cognizant if a business comes that's the right business fit to take up yard space, let's do it. But so we're going to have boats filling all of those spaces here very quickly, generating revenue.
So you're talking about a shipyard.
And boat yard.
Boat yard.
So
I mean,
bums, we can fit three boats where bums was.
Mm-hmm.
And we can fit at least two boats where Clint Thompson was.
Right, but the discount we have doesn't apply to slips in the shipyard, does it?
Well, we still have that 15%
no,
discount in the shipyard.
Oh, yeah.
So if you buy 2 months, you get a discount. So there's a discount in the shipyard and the boat yard both.
I thought filling a shipyard in the wintertime was really hard, because that's not a lot of empty spots in there. Mm-hmm. A lot.
not this year.
Really?
It's gonna be, as from what Terry says, they are stacking up pretty quickly.
Are we gonna get any business for the marine trades out of that, or just kind of storage?
No, I don't think there's gonna be some, especially the shipyard.
So what do you attribute that, not the 15% discount?
I think there's a whole different feeling right now around the boating community. The port has got their act together. Now, whether we do or not, whether anything has changed or not, it's a whole other issue. But I think the PR out there is that we are the place to be, and I think the fishing fleet's coming back. Just little things we've done to the fishing fleet to bring them back from Alaska, so. Cool thing, we're looking at a small increase, nothing major at all. JCIA, just another small CPI increase. And ramp use, we're looking at going up, you know, $3,500. I'm hoping that's more with the installation of our kiosk out there. I'm hoping we actually can see a bigger turnover there.
Have you looked at like previous years, like 2018 for the summer months, since this kiosk has been in place with the...
It hasn't been very long, it's only been...
Month.
A month, yes.
That's just one month.
Really haven't been able to tell.
Yeah.
And the fishing is what really drives a lot of that. Fishing just cut off really early this year, so it'd be a difficult year to really compare.
Yeah, okay.
So one of the things that I've had a couple people come in and talk to me, there were suggestions bantered around about possibly going to a $15 ramp fee instead of a $12 ramp fee. Again, to encourage annual passes. There are pros and cons in both, so I'd like to have that discussion with the commission on if you'd like to raise it to 15 and push that limit, because you know, a lot of time visiting boaters don't care, because $15 in Seattle is still pretty cheap. But,
well, the club events kind of things, they essentially get a rate anyway, right? I mean, it's like one of the big fishing derbies kind of.
We just get discounts on one thing, the fishing derby. One fishing derby is all the discounts we get, or they also paid. But anyway, that's a discussion for another day. We're not talking rates today, but just want to let you know there is some chatter out there of, let's encourage annual passes, keep it $100 for an annual pass, but let's charge more for dailies. It's a discussion point. But all of that is going to net, if we retrieve the words, $185,000 more than we are projecting in 2019. Do you want to talk expenses, Abigail?
Sure. So salaries and wages, we discussed before, this includes full staffing for a full year. It also includes the overlap of the replacement executive director and Jim for 5 months.
5 months overlap.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably most of that money there.
Right.
Yeah. So are you going to require, are you going to need all 5 months? I mean, could you see a scenario where you'd be less or more even?
No, well, hopefully not. It depends when we hire somebody, and that's another discussion we're going to have this afternoon or this evening. But what kind of schedule we're on, can we get somebody in here by February? You know, we're pushing it. Most recruitments take 6 months, and we're pushing it to 5. So it might be March before we get somebody in here.
Yeah, I guess conservatively have been guessing 6 months. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Payroll taxes were reduced based on actuals year to date 19. And employee benefits, again, we have part of the equation with those. We already have the PERS dollars in there and health care for the non-rep, but not for the represented, although we did put an estimate in there.
Can we go back real quick?
Mm-hmm.
How are you getting payroll taxes reduced? Like, if I go from 18 to 19, salaries go down, actually, mm-hmm. 18 to 19. Taxes go up by 10 or better. And then when we go to 20, you know, there's a bigger increase in wages, but you have taxes going down. How are you doing that?
Well, some of it will have to do with L&I claims.
Okay.
And we're kind of powerless over that, but that's where it lands, and if we have, if our claims go up, our experience goes up, then our rates go up. So I was being conservative in 19, lowering it, but not lowering it too much, because I just, you know, I didn't want to. But I feel like we can go down a few more thousand and be okay.
So you think 19 actual is going to come in cheaper than 231?
I do, yeah. Yeah.
And that's based on primarily on LNI claims being lower, is that?
That's the thing that, that makes it vary the most. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've also got FICA in there and unemployment, but. So then uniform expense, about the same. Contract services and consulting, we talked about that in terms of our projections, and those could vary depending on some things that Jim already mentioned. And legal fees, we're hoping to keep that at 100. Now that we're done with the COB, which
yes.
was a big chunk this year,
yes.
and we got reimbursed.
So we have one set of lawyers to pay, instead
yeah.
of two.
Instead of two, yeah. So I'm pretty confident we can keep that at 100 too. And then the audit, as we discussed, and this again is about 2/3 of my estimate for next year, and then the last third will be paid in the beginning of 2021. Facilities and operations, there's a lot of ups and downs in all the different line items, but the primary increase is projections on insurance. Insurance went up a nice chunk this year, and I think it might be time for us to take a look at, you know, other coverage, even though I think we've gotten really excellent service from Honduras. But
just different carrier, not the kind of coverage we get, but different carrier.
Yeah, just to see if we could get a better rate. I mean, we've had our share of claims, though. I mean, we got a brand new travel lift for $500,000, and that was very helpful. And whenever we have claims, they're really helpful. And in fact, we're working on that with the breakwater right now.
So whenever we have claims, do our insurance rates go up? I mean, that has to affect it. Like when you have homeowners insurance and you have a claim and your rates go up?
Well, since it's pooled, I mean, we're all part of a pool, but yeah, it does contribute to it.
So when you say a pool, every time I go to a WPGA conference, I hear everyone's got Honduras because that's who insured ports.
Mm-hmm.
So is every port in this pool? And when we had our new travel lift, was the increased cost, the increased rate resulting from that travel lift payout then directed to us or spread out amongst the entire pool so every port got help pay for it?
I think it's spread out. I mean, and even talking about the breakwater here, you know, we're in process with them now since we got the bid received last week. Now we're going to submit those to the insurance so they can determine how much is potentially covered with the insurance, but they said there's been a lot of claims from the storm last year that did a lot of damage all over the state. So I think our little breakwater is probably nothing compared to what else has happened across the state, because it was pretty bad.
So now, did we submit a claim for the first time that breakwater blew apart a couple years ago?
Actually, that was preventative. That was before anything happened that we had that work done. So we
that was just an inspection found
yes.
something that we filled.
It was, yeah, it was like there's a big hole here and the weather's been really bad, we should preempt it. So that was more preemptive. That was not a claim.
Hmm. There were a number of ports at the commissioner's conference this summer. Remember that in the, I forget which portion of the conference, but I was surprised, Port of Ephrata, Port of Walla Walla, I believe, were not Honduras. And they actually were working with their city. They were.
Oh, that's right.
They had gone to their city's insurance
mm-hmm.
and joined that pool.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, there was actually some little bit of naysaying going on about Honduras. So it might be something we want to look at.
Yeah, to put it in perspective, we're paying close to $300,000 a permit right now.
Mm-hmm. You know who the
premiums.
Who the city of Port Townsend is?
Yeah.
Carriers.
We'll certainly find out.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the city has one and probably the county also.
The county would probably be a better fit for us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Port of Olympia was another one that did not endure us.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that woman, woman court commissioner?
Yeah.
Spoke about that.
Zita.
She was Zita?
Yeah, it was Zita.
Let's see.
Marketing and.
Yeah.
Next line, utilities, I guess.
Utilities, we talked about that. I think year-to-date on utilities, we might, yeah, we're pretty close to budget year-to-date on utilities. So this 565 is anticipating increases in rates.
So when we start metering, for this, will we see like a revenue line for the metering income? And then, and I guess the utility line?
Mm-hmm, yeah. In fact, since we're talking about, well, we've already implemented the boatyard, and we already had shipyard, so we have that separated, so we can compare the revenue and expense line items to each other. I mean, we just wanna break even, and we haven't for years, so. Yeah, and then economic development, that's the same as prior years.
So are we gonna have a discussion about that shortly?
We hopefully are.
Are we gonna do so?
We sat the other day, had a good discussion with EDC.
You did? So are they gonna have a discussion with us about what they've done?
They haven't done anything.
I know, are they gonna come and tell us that?
We haven't paid them anything either.
I mean, they have finally put somebody in the board that doesn't live in Port Townsend. I mean, that's a.
We had a good meeting, and I think as we move forward, Pete Langley is the representative that's out in the county in marine trade, and he's working with us with Brian. So as soon as we can figure it out, but they haven't done anything for us this year, and of course, we have not paid them a cent this year, so. And they know they're not gonna get a cent until we have an agreement of what they're gonna do for us, which will include the commission.
So we had $30,000 in the budget last year. We haven't given them that yet?
Not 19.
And I don't think we should.
Yeah, no, and I told Brian he wasn't getting it, so he knows that. But how do we move forward? That's gonna be a question. It's gonna be a whole workshop probably with them to figure that out.
I would really like to see us leverage the county on that as well.
I think that'd be a really good thing to do.
Yeah, I think we need to have some serious meetings with the county and say, you know, what can we really do? What are the limitations on, you know, what the county will allow us to do in terms of developing things down county? Because it's, I mean, the way it's set up now, we're so confined and restricted. You need the property of the airport, it's got so many caveats on it that we're kind of out, an outgrowth of that lawsuit with the city. It's just ridiculous.
True.
Well, right now, it's so fragmented. We got two entities that are feeling responsible for economic development, trying to do economic development without really communicating with the other one, coordinating it. So I think it really needs to just be one entity that can see the big picture and operates countywide. If we were just a municipal port, you know, that'd be different, but we're countywide. So I think that we should really be pushing or having discussions with the county to get this all in-house like Walla Walla does.
We did have unfortunately a belated discussion with the county about the port submitting a proposal to be the
ADO
for Jefferson County, and they didn't, you know, reject it out of hand. They just thought it was late in the day to consider. So, but I think those are like 5-year,
two years.
So another 2 years, you know, get our ducks in a row and propose that. But it certainly makes more sense to me for an agency that's supposed to be an EDO for the entire county to be an EDO for the entire county. Mm-hmm. And the EDC has never been that.
Okay, I'm sorry to get us off track.
No worries. Travel training, it's about the same, just rounded it up. Cost of fuel, confident in that increase. Actually, year to date, 19, we're at about 14,000. So it's more in line with prior year actuals.
Do we get, in your revenue, where does the, I mean, you don't, I know you don't show it as a, but does it fall into one of the major categories?
Does what fall in?
Fuel, what we get for the fuel.
Oh, yeah.
Is this fuel that we burn, or is this fuel that Eric is using?
Internally consumed, right?
No, this is sold. This is fuel that's sold.
This is fuel sold at.
So it's Quilson, yep.
Because we don't sell it here, Eric does. So this is only.
Right.
This is only Quilson's fuel, right? It's not airport fuel or anything else.
And then, so where's our revenue off of that?
It goes in the lease, so it'd be property leases at Boat Haven or airport.
Okay.
Yeah, and Quilson, it's under Quilson.
Okay.
So that leaves a very modest increase of 51,000, projection difference between the 19 and the 20 budget. Which is pretty conservative, which would give us a, net income of 133. Not operating revenue, like I mentioned before, 19 for the capital contributions and grants, that, includes the JCIA runway construction and the third phase of the engineering, which we had anticipated completing in this year. So if you look down at the bottom of this page, I highlighted the net income of 6.3 million, and I just have a note, and I backed out the portion of that 4.3, and so that we're not doing this year, and that would make the 6.3 closer to 2.3 million. Just for you to see the bottom line comparison year to year, 17, 18, 19, and 20. And the other thing about the 2020 projection of that line item, I don't anticipate, even though the project will be completed in that year, it won't necessarily be closed out. And so the grant billings are always, you know, completed at the end of the closeout. It can be a long process with the FAA. So some of that will fall into 2021. Interest is just increased based on what our projections were. The 42,000 for 19 was lower, and it's for the same reasons. We anticipated having to use more of our money to put to pay for the construction up front before we got grant money back, and so that would lower our interest. So that's why the 42,000 is a little low comparatively to prior years. So 54 is my projection there for 2020, and that's now, taking into account that cash flow.
Now this is interest that's collected on our cash that we have that the treasurer is investing for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't invest anything, the treasurer does it,
right.
And she gets the interest.
Right. We get every month. And then the property taxes, it's property and other taxes, so that includes the timber excise and DNR revenues. As you know, the property tax projection is $1,030,000, so that difference of the $1,095,000 and the $1,030,000 is about 65. And that's conservative for those other types of taxes that we get. And they always vary, so you can't really project when the timber is going to be harvested and how much money they're going to give you.
That was, that timber income was something that Jeff Chapman mentioned to me. He thought that the port should be getting a bigger share of that, but it's just the way the county commission decided who gets what.
Mm-hmm.
So how is that broken down?
The county commission decides, I assume, you know, who gets what, but I mean, if they get a healthy chunk of money from DNR, and because there's a lot of the timberland that's held in trust,
mm-hmm. Right.
for the county.
I understand that. I mean, the distribution of funds between various junior guys like us. Who determines that? The county commissioners? And if it's something that's we're low enough that Mike Chapman said, what do you get that low for? We should perhaps compare other ones and see if we should be asking for an adjustment.
You do that.
I'm sure that's all available on their budgets.
Absolutely. But I mean, that's the sort of thing that, because we're kind of stuck behind the eight ball with the property tax. the other taxing districts have these other kinds of incomes that aren't on that, under that cap, so they do better generally over year than we do on that.
Well, they can get some research on what the overall number is and how it's broken up.
Next line, the miscellaneous, it's at 75,000, that's including a conservative estimate on insurance recovery on this Boat Haven breakwater claim that we have with Enduris. So I'm estimating 50,000, which I think is probably a low ball, but I wanted to put something in there. And the rest is interest income. Not interest income, I'm sorry, finance charges. And then going down to bond interest, that's straight off the amortization schedules, and then management issuance investment. We don't anticipate an issuance at this point, but bond management, that's a cost that's paid to our agent. So that brings us down to the bottom line of 5.8 million net income loss, which is a, I didn't do that difference, the variance. But I mean, the tricky part about this is that this is based on the accrual presentation, which we've always done in the years, now we're cash basis. So I was kind of wrestling with how to do that this year. Jim thought it'd be easier to.
Well, next year, we just won't have that in the previous year.
Right.
Do you have that number off the top of your head?
Which is that?
Going back up to capital contribution grants,
mm-hmm.
under the 2020 column, 3574, what would, if you backed out JCIA, what would that number be? So if I could do the math, just point this out.
If we back out the JCIA between the 2 years?
Like you backed it out for 19,
uh-huh.
what would the back out number be for 2020? Do you have that? Or come back later than that?
I'm not sure I understand.
In other words, you have your little line on the bottom that says 2356. If you took out the project, what would that be on 2020?
I'm with you now. Okay. Sorry.
Is that right, Pete?
Yeah. I'm
trying to come up with that number now.
So you mean the bottom line?
Sure.
Yeah, so the 2356 and the variance between 19 and 20 would be 3.4. 3,468.03. 3,460. It'd be 3,460.803 would be the variance.
Got it. Okay. I know we probably have quote budgeting for it exactly, but do you have an idea where we are in terms of our cash reserves? Are we making step increases towards?
Right, so what I did in August was I funded the operating and the port-wide reserves through September. Because I knew this was, you know, that season and it's easy to fund it. So we're staying on track with what we had anticipated. And actually that's in the meeting. With
in the meeting back, you'll see the balance sheets in there.
I just haven't gotten there. Okay.
Not the balance sheet, but yes, the financial statement.
Thank you.
Let me ask questions.
Sure.
How can you actually consider this rational if you don't have a balance sheet and you don't know where your cash is and you don't know how these numbers are actually going to apply against your maintenance?
So we will have a cash flow in the next draft, and we're going to, we won't be including the capital projections yet, right?
And how can you actually even thoughtfully compare one to the other when one's a cash basis and one's accrual? You can't. You have to either restate the prior 3 years or put 2020 into an accrual. Otherwise, this variance is utter nonsense.
Yeah.
Well, 18 actually is cash, because we reported on a cash basis in 18. Our annual report was prepared that way.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, if we were to look at this as on a cash basis in the budget, it would be, you know, total sources, revenues, and total uses. And so that would include the debt service principal, which we only have interest here. And it, you know, that's like another $1 million off this 3.4 bottom line variance. And then capital, any capital work. And to date, I think on capital, I probably shouldn't guess, but I think it's 7, maybe 700.
So in what you're putting forward next, you're actually going to show how this budget fits into a 5-year or 10-year plan?
I think we're looking at 5 years. That's what we've done before, and yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, capital year to date's been a little over $500,000.
So you said that 18 was reported on, so the actual 2018s were on a cash basis?
Mm-hmm.
And then 19 was an accrual, no, we changed over to cash.
Over to cash.
Right. So 17 was an accrual basis.
Yes.
Anything else?
Again, this is a kind of a first blush to say, are we on track? Are we not on track? Is this something you want to change? Something you want to look at differently? We'll just keep marching forward.
Can I make a suggestion? Because we have, you know, we're back to this 3% as opposed to fair market value increases for revenue. I'm confused why we don't use professional lease brokers to fill lease spaces within the port. It will certainly get you the highest dollar for whatever lease it is. And as these, although unfortunately a lot of these leases are very long term.
Yeah, they are. Some of the ones with the, from the port's perspective, the most onerous terms are.
Yes. But at least if you, it doesn't seem like there's a policy to make sure that you're getting the highest lease rate for the property as they come up.
Well, I actually think it's pretty simple. It's market based. It is what it is. I mean, we can look.
Well, it's
at
not
what's,
market based.
It is. It is. I don't want to argue with you. I'm
well,
not arguing.
If you haven't, if you're not using professionals, how can you possibly say that?
It doesn't take 10 minutes to figure out what's going on in another port, Port Angeles, Everett, Bellingham. It doesn't take a professional, us paying a commission to a professional to figure out what market rates are.
And we have done those, have those studies done by professionals. And I guess your question, is your question why we don't use a leasing agent?
Yes.
To do this as opposed to
as
what
opposed
we're doing
to
now.
What we've had in the past, why we, which is why we have these leases that are so onerous to the port.
Part of that was because of the way contracts were let, and I think that we've taken steps to tighten up those contracts, especially in the area of use, where use changes over time and the port isn't fairly compensated. We are now using shorter terms, and we're actually, I think, collecting on our escalations, where in the past we didn't always do that reliably. I think we've taken substantial steps in the last year or so to make some of those changes. Certainly, Sam started some of that stuff, and we've continued it, and you know, it, but. In terms of having you know, an outside agent come in and actually do the deal, I'm not sure that's something that really buys us much.
how do you know until you try it?
Haven't we had some appraisals on leases recently, Jim?
We have.
Yeah.
We have a whole lease policy committee, we've had all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Plus, we've had Charette come in and do a market analysis for us.
Who did?
Charette, Peter Charette.
Which is Kidder Matthews, out of Seattle.
So, yeah, we've had, and I remember seeing some leases that have had appraisals, because we're trying to figure out where do we get this margin plus, you know, and that's from that appraisal, so that, that's happening.
Okay, let's do the next item on the agenda.
But to answer Jim's question, yes, you're on the right track with what we've seen, the, to do the, you know, it'll be interesting to look at the capital budget and where we're gonna go with that.
The next piece.
This looks good, this looks excellent, congratulations.
Okay. Draft court newsletter.
So this is,
We have it still covered, was there any changes on this?
That's just their bio reference, that's.
Okay.
April.
Yeah, so that's the same.
Yeah.
I'm not proposing any changes in 2020.
Nope. So the annual report, this is something Scott Wilson's been working on for us, it will be inserted into the leader on the 9th of October. And it really is something we used to do quite a bit, we used to do an annual report to people that weren't mortgage tenants or marine trades, but really the citizens of what your report is, what it does, and so we thought we would lump this with our attorney's sage advice to really talk about the IDD and just from a commission point of view what the IDD is. So this is meant to lump together, this is your report, this is what we do, this is where money comes from, this is where money goes, these are the facilities we have, and then a message from the commission. So this is something that Bill, this from the commissioners, Bill put this together originally, and Frank looked at it and made quite a few changes. And it was suggested, really, we'd like to get the commissioners to buy in that this is their message, not Bill's, but this is the commission's message to the citizens. So you've had the copy, we sent you the copy, you know, 4 days ago, whatever. This is the first draft that came out just this afternoon, of what it might look like as an insert in the leader.
Can you share that?
So we got a copy, we got this sent out to us electronically, I don't remember reading it.
Yeah, September 20th, my birthday.
Yeah.
Just this.
It was an attachment to an email from Jim.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, it was just an attachment.
So there's a couple of things, the port anniversary seems to be, is that?
Yeah, there's a couple errors that we need to go through and change dates and things like that.
Well, I confess, I didn't see that attachment, and I haven't read it, so I'm not prepared to comment on it, and I'll have to read it over and.
Yeah, just shoot me an email with any changes that you want to make. We'd like to get this done, well, within the next week or so. We'd like to kind of get our changes. I've already made changes, we're changing the front picture to the picture of everybody looking up instead of sideways. The breakwater picture, I don't like that picture, we've got a better one of that. The failing breakwater. I think that Commissioner Hankey and Commissioner Tucker's pictures could be a little clearer.
I would like to take all of your pictures today.
Okay.
Like next to the flag.
Looks like an older bear in a snowstorm.
Tell me, the one time I wore my working clothes to a point.
It'll just be from shoulders up, you'll have to.
But all in all, I think Scott did a pretty good job. We really took a lot from our strategic plan, from our comp scheme, from the marine trades study.
Are you kidding?
And, so anyway, I think it's pretty well.
So the remarks I have, the founding date, there's a port can only use this levy twice.
Yeah, that was some of the things that Commissioner Hankey brought up. The third time is a full group of the people, so it's likened more to a Letty Lidlit. However, I think Frank's wrong, because we board with the Pacific, we get a third bite. So I think that needs to be changed three times.
Yeah, and also the second and last time, that's not correct.
Mm-hmm.
So on the in terms of the yield amount, is the yield amount capped even for like new construction?
No.
Okay, so the new construction.
New construction is still added.
It's
yes.
Still added. What does a port currently collect and how does it operate? It's talking about $4 million from business operations, but that includes some grant income as well, right?
Where are you? You've got some
second page.
Right. Yeah,
page three here.
Yeah, it's the last sentence in that paragraph about what taxes does the port currently collect. So $4 million is from operations. So we have a $5.5 million budget. So $1 million in taxes, $4 million in fees, and
but that includes grants and all.
No, that's just operating.
Okay,
that's just operating.
Yeah, I think the four should be five though.
Yeah,
there's a couple more edits that he hasn't been able to implement, and that was one of them.
Okay, why this levy now? Somewhere is there?
Yep.
To the bottom of page three.
First paragraph talks about essential infrastructure for business and employees. It doesn't talk about recreation, but I think that's an element.
Mm-hmm.
Of that should be included.
Recreation, okay.
And that's on the why collect this levy now paragraph?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's several more, there's a couple of more that's than are required. In the third paragraph down, that means.
Okay.
Did you already catch
that? Yeah,
that
we already found that one.
summary. Nothing was discussed in the summary about diversification or any sort of economic development outside of the current business.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, if we're going to get this IDD, we should do some industrial development, which would include some diversification. I mean, certainly that would be one of the things that, as a commissioner, I would like to see. I don't know whether we can tout that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be kind of. I had the same exact thought. It would be in third sentence, somewhere in the word of in the county,
mm-hmm.
like economic development opportunities, like farmers.
Right. Agriculture.
Third sentence of which? Why collect?
Summary. No,
it's summary.
Summary. Which is behind that.
Mm.
I'll bring my changes
yeah.
in.
Yeah, just shoot me your changes.
But that's good. The stuff that I found that.
I will say one of the things that really should be rewritten in this is the idea that this is for maintenance of existing port facilities and infrastructure. That specifically is not what the IDD is for. It can be used for that, but the way this is kind of couched, this whole piece, it's kind of couched that, oh, well, we're going to fix the port facilities and infrastructure with this money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all know that that's not what the IDD is.
I don't think that's what the framers intended, but
yeah.
It seems to be like, as a common use.
Yeah.
So this seems to, there's an extension, and I see it with Kern as well, is that there is some conflation between creating jobs and and keeping jobs. And the two seem to be the same thing to some people.
Okay.
Yeah, this is good.
Well, give me your edits, we'll get those in, we'll get a new proposed draft that I'll send out to you electronically for you to review and.
So the only comment I would have is format and size. Is this because it's in the paper?
That's, yeah.
That's way larger than this.
It's gonna be full cap size, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. So when's the deadline on this?
I'd like to get it next week so we can get it printed. So by the end of next week. It goes in on the 9th of October, which is right around the corner. And so Scott said it'd like at least 2 or 3 days to print it, and then we gotta get it to the paper and insert it.
Cause this is the week that I'm gonna be taking my trip.
So maybe by Friday, we should have all this all in here.
Well, I mean, and.
Yeah.
And you wanna have it proofed. So the day to turn it around just to proof it.
Right.
One of the things we found at the film festival is that, you know, what you give people and what the typesetter sets is not always the same thing. So.
Okay. I'd still like to object to this a jobs factory, because one, it was done by an unscientific report.
All right.
And you paper part of it.
I did.
Bill, which means that this is a conflict of interest.
Perhaps.
Yeah, it is.
I paid using my money, not the port's money.
Just
and I'm a private citizen when I'm not getting paid for it, so I can do what the hell I want.
You may want to add to your legal budget.
Well, go ahead. I mean, I appreciate this is just a lie, Melinda.
Melinda, we don't come here to argue. We're trying to get something done. If you want to come and argue, I would really appreciate
it. Well, it's not about arguing. It's just you're not listening to what anybody else says.
No, you're arguing.
And if you did, then you would actually have a discussion. But we're not.
We're having a public workshop.
That's right.
And you're arguing.
Public workshop.
Anyway.
We'll make sure that, I'm looking forward to this.
I know, but every time you launch off on one of these campaigns, you cost the port 5 times whatever the loss was, and you know, I think that's your privilege to do.
That's
so
right.
Don't imagine that you're doing it on behalf of the port or the citizens of Jefferson County.
I'm doing
you
it on,
just aren't.
I am doing it on behalf of the citizens of Jefferson County.
We don't
I'm not doing it on the port of people that are getting. Benefit.
You know what I would challenge you with, Melinda, is go out and prove to us that you're doing it for the citizens of the county. Bring to us a list of names.
I already had over 2,000.
Let's see them. I really
they were turned into the auditor. You can go up to the auditors and ask them. There were 2,600.
That's for the IDD.
That's right. That's right. And that's what this is about.
So
this is for the IDD.
We're done.
Done.